Counsel ready?
I am, Your Honor.
You may proceed.
Thank you. And may it please the Court. The district court in this case did not make express findings whether two criminal history points should be assigned to a 2003 possession of controlled substance conviction and a 2004 controlled substance conviction. Instead, what the district court did was to adopt the PSI and the probation officer's response to the objections of as its own without setting forth any additional facts. Now, United States v. Flores says that the district court can rely on unchallenged factual statements in the pre-sentence report to find facts underlying a sentencing enhancement. Here, however, and in this particular case, Mr. Prejet did challenge both the convictions in paragraph 51 of the pre-sentence investigation, both in his objections and in the sentencing memo, as well as the conviction referenced in paragraph 61. Again, both
the probation officer filed a response, my understanding of what he said is that he provided defense counsel the evidence. This is paragraph 19 of the addendum to the pre-sentence report. And if you look at what he says is that probation officer provided counsel with a copy of defense custody history, and the defendant has not provided information to the contrary. It looks to me like that's what the district court relied on. Do you know what document the probation officer is relying on here? Were you the lawyer below?
I was trial counsel.
You were trial counsel?
Yes.
So you were intimately familiar with this stuff?
That's right, Your Honor. And in my objections, you'll see that I made attachments to my objections saying, if these are the documents that the government and the probation officer are relying on, they are inadequate. The government then files a response to my objections to the PSI where they submit additional evidence, additional documentation in support of the second point on the criminal history. At that point,
when you say the second point, the second conviction.
No, I concede that each of the two convictions is a one point, not a two point.
Oh, I'm sorry. The second point for each. Okay.
Yes. I'm sorry. I didn't express
it. I understand. Yeah. But we're still talking about the first conviction now.
Right. In that first conviction, I attach these documents and I say, these documents are inadequate. And what the document says is that there's a conviction and that there is, he's put on probation and given 8 days credit for time served. It also says that 60 days is imposed, but given that this was a Proposition 36 case, he didn't actually have to serve any of the 60 days. We're talking only about 59 at this point.
You know, I'm familiar with all of those documents, but I was actually asking a slightly different question, and I don't think I articulated it quite the way I meant to. The probation officer represents in paragraph 19 that he provided defense counsel with certain documents. Okay, he makes a presentation. He doesn't tell us what documents they are. Okay. What was he referring to? I'm not asking you what's in his mind, but what is it that the probation officer actually gave you?
The documents which I attached to my objections to the PSI and to my sentencing.
Those documents that you attached are the documents that he gave you. He didn't give you anything else.
Yeah. Yes, that's right.
So if anything, you're an officer of the court and that's your representation, of course it's believed, that is the universe of documents we are dealing with.
Yes, as far as I know. Well, I do know that.
If there are other documents out there, they weren't referenced.
They weren't given to me. That's all I can say.
And presumably the district court can't rely on stuff that's not given to you, that's not presented.
But I would hope not.
Okay. I'm just trying to nail down what the universe of documents is that is referenced in here.
The documents which I received from the probation officer are those documents which I attached to my pleadings.
Okay.
Yeah. Counsel, to what extent is the government conceding part of your argument? Obviously, I'm not talking now about the restitution issue, but with respect to this issue, I notice in the red brief that the government acknowledges that the record documents do not establish the terms of Prajet's custody for the offenses described in 59 and 61. To what extent does that relate to the colloquy you've just had with Judge Kaczynski?
Well, I think it's a concession that the documents in possession of that I presented and the documents that the government has and presented to the court don't establish that Mr. Prajet served more than 60 days on either of those. That's on the appellant's brief at 10, and I actually had quoted it right here. But I think that that's a concession that the state of the record is that there's insufficient evidence. Then, of course, the question is, can the district court make a determination not supported by this documentation, merely on the assertion of the pre-sentence investigator that these documents were sufficient, when you look at the documents, they're not?
I'm not sure that he ever makes an assertion. Oh, I'm sorry, that those documents are sufficient.
Yes.
What I'm trying to figure out is whether the probation officer is somewhere saying, I've looked at other documents, and take my word for it. There seems to be some indication that the probation officer looked at some, not Superior Court documents, but documents of the correctional facility, of the prison, of the jail, and somehow figured out that your client spent more time there.
And that's Exhibit C to my objections to the PSI. So that document is in the record. I look at it, and I don't read it the way the probation...
That's a Superior Court document, right? That's the one that's titled Superior Court? Let's just make sure we are talking about the same document. Is this the one that's that's in excerpts of Volume 2, page These are not paginated. Consecutively. How can we tell? How can I direct you to the page on this thing if it's not?
My copy is paginated, Your Honor. I obviously can't speak for yours.
Well, I have something called Excerpts of Record Volume 2, filed in the seal. And I have a document that says public case access on page. It's a two-page document.
It looks like page 132. Is that the one? October 8, 2014, in the lower right.
Yes, Your Honor. It's
October 8, 2014. And where does it say our document number?
It's in the very last line, and it's overridden by some other typing. But in the very center at the bottom, it says excerpt 132.
Yeah, this is a good way not to do excerpts of record.
Yes, those are the only two pages, and of course are the ones that became important.
Well, but what are we to make with these two pages?
So 132, 133, right?
Yes, what we make of these records is that Mr. Prajet was given 8 days credit for time served. He failed to appear at one point. A bench warrant was issued. He was arrested. He spent another day, 8 days in jail, before he was put back on probation. He failed again to appear. Another bench warrant was issued. He was arrested again on that bench warrant. He spent 7 days in jail, and then the case was dismissed, presumably due to a plea agreement, where he pled guilty to a more serious charge, and this case was dismissed.
I'm sorry. This does not speak to the first conviction at all.
Oh, no. This only speaks to the second conviction.
It doesn't matter, because if you can push back 1 point on the first conviction, you win.
Right.
So this document has no relevance, no matter how you read it, it has no relevance to the first conviction.
Yeah. This has nothing to do with 59. This has to do with 61. That's correct.
But either one would cause a reduction by 1 point if it's valid.
And then we're down to criminal history 5 instead of 6. That's correct. So
all you need is 1 point.
Exactly.
So your answer, you think this is the document that the probation officer refers to, and your answer is it doesn't say anything about the first conviction at all.
Yes, and it doesn't prove that.
And what it says about the second one is a little obscure, but...
But insufficient, in my view.
Okay. Well, why don't we hear from the government?
Thank you.
Unless we have questions.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. If I may, I would like to clear...
Is it correct that you concede there's no document in the record supporting the second point on those two convictions?
Your Honor, it's correct that the government concedes that the documents attached to the briefing obtained from the California court by themselves...
You know, that's not the question I asked. And rephrasing my question and then answering it doesn't really do the job. So let me try again and then start with a yes or no, and then you can explain all you want. Is it correct that the government concedes there's no document in the record that supports the second point on either of the two prior convictions?
Your Honor, I answer no to that question because we believe the addendum to the PSR is part of the record and that does support the second point.
I'm sorry. So the answer to my question is no.
True.
So what you said in your brief was wrong.
But
you conceded that the portion of the brief that Judge O'Scanlan cited.
We're talking about page 10 of your red brief.
Right. I don't believe it is wrong, Your Honor. I believe perhaps I'm using the word record differently than you are in your question, or I'm not understanding. If by record...
If there's one thing we have to sort of have in common, this is not quantum physics. You know, what is the record is something that we ought not to have disagreements about as you stand there. We got lots of lawyers. The record, I mean, is there any doubt as to what is the record?
I don't believe so, Your Honor.
Okay, so your brief seems to say there's no document in the record.
I'll read it again. The government acknowledges that the record documents do not establish the terms of Prajet's custody for the offenses described in 59 and 61. And, of course, they go on to say they do establish facts of conviction.
Your Honor, that was our error in using the word record to refer to the court record documents.
So you are disavowing what you said in your brief, and you're taking a different position now.
No, Your Honor, I'm really not trying to take a different position now. I'm trying to distinguish between the record from the California court, which are the attachments to the party's briefs filed below, and the addendum to the PSR, which I take to be part of the record because it's in the record. And I believe it's the addendum to the PSR that is the key to this whole argument.
Did you write this brief?
I did, Your Honor, with assistance from co-counsel.
I'm sorry?
Yes, Your Honor, with assistance from co-counsel.
I think you need to go back to school for learning what... No, the record is the record before us. When you talk about the record, you're talking about what's in the record, what are the things we review. This is just a fundamental precept of appellate jurisprudence. I mean, sure, there are criminal records, there are other kinds of records that appear, but when we talk about the record, we're talking about what's... So you are taking back what you said in your brief. Or you're attempting to. So go ahead and explain. I mean, as I read the brief, it's pretty clear that it says it's not in the record. So if you want to take it back now, we'll consider that. So explain to me what it is that you think there is in the record.
But Your Honor, if I may, I will read the sentence and then attempt to explain it. I apologize for causing this confusion. The government acknowledges that the record documents...
No. Let's get past that. Okay? You are stuck with whatever you said.
Understood.
We'll see whether we'll let you take it back. We'll have to consider it. But assuming we'll let you take it back, what is it that you point to that is in the record?
Your Honor, the government believes...
Okay, so identify the document and tell me where it is so we can look at it together.
Your Honor, the key document is the addendum to the PSR at page 4, paragraphs 17.
What page in the record?
Your Honor, the addendum to the PSR is not numbered as a page in the record. It's document 83.
It's in the excerpts of record, isn't it?
It is in. No, Your Honor, it's filed under seal, so it's not in the excerpts of record.
The excerpts of record are filed under seal.
Your Honor, the way we received the excerpts of record, volume 1 and 2, the PSR came separately from the excerpts of record.
Okay, I have the PSR. Okay. All right, and I have the addendum. What page of the addendum?
Thank you, Your Honor. Your Honor, the addendum, page 4.
Okay. And what paragraph?
That's the same page we were talking about recently with your opposing counsel with respect to paragraph 19.
Yes, Your Honor.
All right.
Yes, Your Honor. And it's the government's position that these paragraphs that address... I'm sorry?
Okay, what language?
The two convictions at issue here are convictions 59 and 61. Regarding conviction 59, it's addressed in paragraph...
Where are you reading from?
Paragraph 19 on page 4, Your Honor.
The probation officer also provided counsel?
Yes, Your Honor.
I'm sorry. So what language are you relying on?
We're relying on the language where the probation officer, this is the second sentence, the probation officer noted in paragraph 59 that the information was limited but sufficient to attribute criminal history points. The defendant has not provided any information to the contrary.
So what is he referring to there?
He's referring to the custody history at the Sacramento County Detention Facility, as he describes
it. Where is that document?
That document is not in the record.
And where does he say, I have examined a...
He says the probation officer...
What he says is that he provided documents. He referred to documents he provided the defense counsel.
Yes, sir.
So is that document one of the documents provided the defense counsel? The one that he's referring, that you say he's referring to?
It's the government's position that these documents are not in the record. It's our position.
Well, what the paragraph says is, I have provided documents, I'm relying on documents I've provided defense counsel.
Right.
It does not refer to any documents not provided to defense counsel.
Right.
Okay. So is your position that this refers to documents not provided to defense counsel, or are you saying that defense counsel got these documents that the probation officer is relying on?
The latter, Your Honor. The probation officer...
So you've heard opposing counsel, and he says the universe of things that he has gotten, he has listed. Are you saying he's a liar?
I'm not saying he's a liar, Your Honor.
What are you saying?
Our understanding was that...
Did you get those documents?
No, Your Honor.
So you haven't seen the document.
True.
Defense counsel tells us he had no document from the Sacramento detention facility given to him by the probation officer.
He did state that, Your Honor.
Okay. So what you want us to infer, so to follow your argument is we have to infer that the probation officer looked at some other document that he has not provided to defense counsel. And that's the document you're relying on.
Defense counsel's statement today...
No, just answer my question.
Yes, well, Your Honor, it's my understanding from what I read here that he did provide it to defense counsel, and it was my understanding from the record that those documents were not attached to our briefs. So it's the government's position.
So that, according to your understanding, is there are things that the probation officer provided only to defense counsel, not to the government.
True.
Is that unusual?
Not necessarily. I mean, he could provide something to defense counsel in response to defense counsel's objections and give defense counsel the opportunity to rebut.
Wouldn't that be something that he'd provide the government to, so the government could make sense of the response, of defendant's response? I mean, I've never heard of that, where a probation officer provides a defendant a document that he doesn't provide the government. But in any event, you did not get any such document.
True.
You have not seen such document.
True, Your Honor.
You don't even know that such a document exists.
Only to the extent that it's referenced by the
probation
officer.
Okay, so what is it that he says here that makes you think there is such a document?
The probation officer says that he obtained the documents from the...
No, just give me a quote, me the language.
In paragraph 18, it says, the probation officer provided the criminal records received from the collateral investigation. The records confirmed from Sacramento County Superior Court and Sacramento County Detention Facility. And that, Your Honor, I think is key, is there's documents from the court and there's documents from the detention facility. The documents from the court are attached to the party's briefs. If we look at the documents attached to the party's briefs, they appear to be from a court. But the probation officer here is talking about documents obtained from a detention facility. Looking at the documents attached to the party's briefs, there are
Where does he say that he is relying on that document? To me, reading 19, he seems to be saying, look, everything I relied on, I provided to defense counsel. That's what 19 says to me. Where does he say, oh, there was also this other document that I provided neither the government nor defense counsel, but trust me, I looked at it and that's what it says? Or in effect, where does he say that? Which words that he uses?
Your Honor, he doesn't say that he didn't provide it to defense counsel. He says that he did, but he refers to records from this, again in paragraph 21, records from the Sacramento County Detention Facility outlining that the defendant was returned to custody on several occasions. So the probation officer is representing to the parties and to the court that he has these records from the Sacramento County.
Well, he says he provided counsel with a copy of records of the Sacramento County Detention Facility. Defense counsel tells us he'd got no such thing. You say you got no such thing. Now, how do we, assuming there are such documents, how do we verify that the probation officer wasn't misreading them? Wasn't drunk that day? Or under the influence of drugs? Or, I mean, I'm not... We don't often just take people's words for it. He's not under oath, right? Was he subject to cross-examination? It's not like he's a witness and, you know, you put him on the stand and you can cross-examine him, the document's lost, right?
Your Honor, I understand what the court is saying. Certainly there's no way to verify his particulars.
And there's no document at all having shown that that defendant served more than 60 days on the first conviction. All the documents we have, none of them go back that far, right?
Correct. The documents attached to the pleadings, and that's what we meant in our brief, I believe, is the documents attached to the pleadings do not establish the terms of the time that he served. But with the addition of the PSR...
And you're not ready to confess error, I gather, huh?
No, Your Honor. I believe that with the language in the addendum to the PSR, it was not an abuse of discretion for the court to rely on the PSR's findings that the defendant had served more than 60 days.
Let me ask you a question, if I may, just for another perspective that's related. How can the government ask us to approve a sentence of a person to be in jail, a prison, a longer time based on documents the government hasn't seen?
Your Honor, the government turns to the role of the probation officer for the court to answer that question. probation officer is the one in the process most familiar with reviewing custody records, most familiar with establishing criminal history points. In this case, the probation officer looked at the detention records from the county facility, unless we think he was lying or otherwise misleading the court, and calculated the number of days served, and the district court relied upon that. There were, in this case, I'm estimating to a certain extent, but 30 objections with sub-objections. These were two of the objections among a whole range of things that were addressed at sentencing.
But doesn't Flores impose upon the court the duty to resolve the factual dispute, and that wasn't done here? And the government obviously has the burden of proof.
Agreed, Your Honor, that we do have the burden of proof, and I would like to address Flores if the court would permit me. The Flores court did hold that a district court may not adopt conclusory statements unsupported by the facts or the guidelines.
That's kind of what we have here, isn't it?
Well, I'd like to, if I may, contrast the situation in the Flores court with what we have here. The Flores court went on to say that the district court's failure to do so is not procedural error, where adequate explanation may be inferred from the PSR or the record as a whole. And the situation in Flores was whether a young person was a minor at the time the minor participated in the conspiracy. And the PSR contained a statement that established that she was 17 when she met Flores and started on drugs, but it contained no statement about how old she was when she joined the conspiracy. No statement at all. So in our case, there is a contrast. The facts in our case are stronger because the PSR does contain a statement. It contains a definitive conclusion that the defendant served more than 60 days based upon the probation officer's review of the detention records.
And what is that statement where he says, I have reviewed the detention records and that's what they provide? I mean, just to make sure I understand, where does he say that?
Yes, Your Honor. The government is relying entirely on the statement in the addendum to the PSR that we just reviewed a few minutes ago.
Give me a paragraph.
Your Honor, that was page 4 of the addendum to the PSR. The first conviction is addressed in paragraphs 18 and 19, and the second conviction is addressed in paragraphs 20 and 21.
Where does he say, I've reviewed those prison records and I rely on them?
He says in paragraph 19 that he provided the custody records. Probation officer noted the information was limited but sufficient to attribute criminal history points. The defendant has not provided any information to the contrary. And I think that last statement is interesting because it does show that the probation officer reviewed what the defendant provided and then made a conclusion after that review that the custody records still supported 2 criminal history points.
The counsel, does your government office have a policy in writing that says we take what a probation officer's say-so is on terms of confinement without looking at any documents?
Your Honor, we certainly don't have a policy that says we take the probation officer at their word on that. I would say it's not unusual when a probation officer reaches a conclusion that we rely upon the probation officer's conclusion.
But as to the period a person was incarcerated, you don't require the documents?
Require, Your Honor, no.
What I'm having trouble understanding is why a probation officer would give documents to defense counsel and not have those same documents given to the government.
And I will acknowledge, Your Honor, I mean, the record could be better. It would obviously be better if these documents were in the record or if counsel and I agreed upon whether these documents were in the record.
Okay, but, thank you. That's fair enough.
But what I ask the court to do is to look at the addendum to the PSR.
Well, I think we understand your position. What I'd ask you to do is when you go back to the office, I want you to talk to the U.S. attorney. Is it Ms. Olson?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, I'd like you to sit down with her and explain to her, maybe she can play the tape of this, and tell her, I suggest this is the time for the government to confess error. We'll give you 2 days. If we'll defer submission, give you a chance to confess error.
Your Honor, I appreciate that direction, and I will take that to the U.S. Attorney.
To talk to the U.S. Attorney about it. For the probation officer to be operating here without providing documents, relying on documents that's provided to apparently neither defense counsel. You're not questioning the integrity of defense counsel when he says he's spoken to everything he's gotten, and that you tell me you haven't gotten, and the probation officer is operating on these documents that nobody else seems to have seen, just seems something that should be troubling to the government as much as the defense counsel. So we'll give you 2 days in case the government chooses to back away from this policy, this procedure. Okay? If we don't hear from you or the U.S. Attorney in 48 hours, we will submit the case, and you will get a decision.
I understand, Your Honor. I appreciate the clear guidance.
Thank you. We will take a brief recess.